Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So we're talking about the third idol. We talked about the idol of ego. We've talked about the idol of comfort, and you're all still here. So God must be doing something. Here's a reality. When God is moving, one of the signs, one of the realities of that is repentance. And repentance is when we turn away from things to turn to God. And one of the things in the Old Testament, you've heard me say this before, but basically, very simply put, bad kings were identified as bad kings because they allowed idolatry among the people of God. Good kings were identified as good kings because they dealt with the idolatry among the people of God. And King Jesus, who is the King of Kings and our good shepherd, came to deal with every idol that the people of God would be set free and not captive from any idol that would have a hold on us. And so it is so important that we are walking free and not stuck. And one of the idols that has our world stuck, can have the church stuck, that can have you stuck, is the idol of sex. And we're going to talk about it right now. So pray for me. This young whippersnapper talking about sex today. I want to talk about the idol of sex. This is very important because we live in a world where sex is idolized. And when sex is idolized, it can be in the church as well. Where sex is idolized, it will manifest in either lust or where we are taking, where we're getting more and more and it's indulgent, or it will manifest in suppression of what is actually a godly thing. Sex doesn't belong to the devil. It actually belongs to God. Can I get an amen, everybody? God made sex, and sex is a godly thing. Sex is designed by God. But when lust is at play, sex is something we take. And part of the issue is because sex, in a worldly point of view, is seen as purely physical, purely an expression of the body. Like eating food, drinking water, it's a physical need. But sex is way beyond just a physical thing. Sex is actually an act of the soul and the spirit and the body. And so the other end, when sexual repression is at play, we begin to have a distorted view of sex as though it's wrong. But it is not. We need to get something very clear. Sex is designed by God. It is an expression of great intimacy and connection within the bounds of marriage between a man and a woman. Sex has been glorified as the ultimate goal in life, but I gotta tell you, sex has its place, but the goal of life is not sex. The goal of marriage is not sex. The goal of life is love. Matthew 22, 34 to 40, Jesus said it like this: but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, because they were Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love," everyone say love, "the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall," everyone say love, "your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So the ultimate picture of a great life is not did you have sex and how much sex. The picture and a great picture of a great life is did you have love? Did you have love in this life? And when we talk about love, we need to understand that's the goal, to love God and to love others. And that's the definition of a great life. Therefore, you can be single and not having sex and still have a great life. You are not living a lesser life if you're not having sex. I told you we're going to talk about it today. You can be celibate, called to be celibate by God, called for that, and live a fulfilling, satisfying, wonderful life and never have sex. This is not a popular opinion in our day. Why? Why is that the case? Because the goal is not sex. The goal is love. The goal of marriage is love. And so if you're getting married so that you can have sex, that is paper thin and ridiculous. Marriage is far more than sex. Marriage is about love. To live a life defined by love. But you need to understand, everybody, there are four types of love. There are four types of love. There is storge love, which is family love. Love of parents for a child, for example. There is philia love, which is friendship love. There is eros love, which is sexual erotic love. And there is agape love, which is God's love. So I want you to look. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. 13. It says this. Every time you read the word love in this passage of scripture, you need to know the word for love here is not eros love, it's not philia love, it's not storge love, it is agape love. 1 Corinthians 13 is describing agape love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not agape love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not agape love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver my body to be burned but have not agape love, I gain nothing. Agape love is patient and kind. Agape love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Agape love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Agape love never ends. Another version says it, love never fails. Agape love never fails. But we are all broken. You're broken, I'm broken, we're all broken. Therefore, we cannot get agape love in and of ourselves. Agape love is not something you conjure up within yourself. You cannot love yourself into agape love because you are broken. And therefore, the only way you can get agape love, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love, the only way you can get it is from without yourself. It's beyond you. It comes from God. The only way you can know the agape love of God is to know God. You can't get it in a relationship. You can't get it in a friendship. You can't get it in your family. You can only get this kind of love from God Himself. In the same way that my son Oakland cannot get fatherly love from within himself, he cannot conjure up fatherly love. He can only get it from his father. In the same way, you can only get this kind of love that satisfies your soul and sets you free from God. Come on, everybody. And we need this love. You are made for this love. You're designed to have this love. Without this love, you will be searching for it for the rest of your life, looking at every other type of love to fulfill it, but it never will. You need agape love. You are designed for agape love. And the three other loves are designed by God because He made all four. We didn't make the four loves. God made them. We didn't come up with storge love. I mean, imagine that meeting. What should we call it? Storge, to rhyme with George. I don't know. Storge. We didn't come up with eros love. We didn't come up with philia love. God came up with them. But He designed them to work in connection and in submission to agape love. Eros love becomes distorted when it is not connected to agape love. Eros love becomes a self-satisfying love when it is out of order and not connected to agape love. So we will end up, when eros love, When the idol of sex, when eros love is what we are pursuing, it is the number one thing. We can't live without it. When that's the thing, it will lead us into a lifestyle where we are taking, sex to get something for ourselves, when actually eros love is designed to be with agape love, where it is actually selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional. That is the design of God for eros love, that it would be in the safety and the covering of agape love. Eros love will manifest itself in pornography. And we need to break this thing off our lives. Promiscuity, in worst case, abuse. And the scheme of the enemy is to give the world a form of love without agape love, to give them a type of love. He is quite happy for us to consume eros love so that we are so full of eros love that we have forgotten and we are distant from agape love. And so he has got it in every sphere, everywhere you look, every bus, every area, every phone, every computer, every device. It is everywhere, 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 because it is a scheme trying to get people stuck in eros love as supreme love and therefore never getting free. Stuck in a cycle of thirst, like the woman at the well who'd been thirsty and she'd been in relationship from relationship, five husbands, sixth boyfriend, and now she encounters Jesus at the well because she encountered agape love. She found agape love at the well. And agape love fulfilled what she was trying to fill through eros love. But eros love wasn't cutting it. Eros love wasn't doing it. She needed agape love. And it's not until you encounter agape love that eros love gets put in its rightful spot. Until that happens, you'll be pursuing and going from place to place and image to image and video to video to try and get something that only God can give you. Only God can give you intimacy and connection that will satisfy your soul. And we all need that. You need it. You need it. Amen. You need it. The enemy wants to circumvent our experience of God's love by making sure we are full of eros love, but it is a counterfeit experience. It's counterfeit. It's not wrong, but it's just a half-truth. It's not in order. So here's the thing. If you've ever found yourself trapped in lust, which every one of us will have, because the world will put it forth, pornography is a very pervasive thing. It's not just men, it's women as well. It's not just singles, it's in marriages as well. Too real today, I'm gonna talk really real today. It's in every, it's pervasive. And just because you're married doesn't mean you've dealt with the idol of sex. Just because you've got that relation doesn't mean this is in order. It actually needs to be put in order, and God wants to deal with it head on because it is robbing, thieving, killing, and destroying people from the inside out. And we're not standing for it. God has a better plan for you. God has a better way. And here's the thing, if you find yourself trapped in lust, here's what you do. Don't fight, flee. Don't fight, flee. Run away from your phone. Parent your phone. I've heard it said, parent that thing. Give it boundaries. I've started leaving it in the car. I just run away from that thing. There is too much content everywhere you look. Even if you're not looking for it, it'll jump up in your face. You gotta flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18 said it like this, flee from sexual immorality. Joseph didn't stay and fight when he was in Potiphar's house. He ran. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but a sexually immoral person sins against his own body. It's hurting us. It's destroying the integrity and the image of God in us. So don't fight, flee. Second thing, don't conceal, confess. 1 John 1 verse 9, the road to freedom is never hiding. The road to freedom is exposure. And so you need people in your world that you can expose things to. And you need to expose it to God to get free. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's agape love that causes eros love to have the right application. And this is where I want to talk about marriage, because marriage is not purely just something we do before the government. Marriage is an act between a man and a woman before God. It is primarily a covenant before God. That's what it is. And so when people talk about there's teaching on having safe sex, in schools we teach on having safe sex, but one concern I have is that we are missing one of the key ingredients, or the most important ingredient, that makes sex safe. And that is the spiritual covering. So we are teaching in schools have safe sex because it's just an act of the flesh. But that is wrong. It is wrong. It is not an act of the flesh alone. It is an act of the soul. And it is a spiritual act. It's a spiritual reality. Marriage reflects a spiritual reality of Jesus and his bride, the church, which are designed to be intimate and one. And marriage is a picture of that in the earth. And so it is a covenant relationship that brings spiritual protection so that sex is safe. Because eros love is like fire. It needs boundaries. It needs safety. It needs to come under a unique spiritual protection because of the level of vulnerability and intimacy of eros love. It needs the protection of marriage, which is under agape love. It is the design of God. How are you doing? You doing all right? And this is what we need. We need that protection. But we must remember, sex is not the goal. Love is the goal. Agape love is the goal. And so all of us may have gaps where agape love, we need to grow in love. We need to grow in the love of God. And the love of God will heal you. It'll heal you. The love of God will begin to set you free little by little. Your identity will start to shift and you will step out of shame and guilt. If there is shame and guilt in your life today, bring it to Jesus. Be like the woman at the well. Come to God and allow agape love to set you free. Be healed, be free from the hold of this idol. And so to experience agape love, you've got to know it and you've got to experience it. Experience without knowledge will not produce a revelation of God's love, and knowledge without experience will not produce a revelation of God's love. We need knowledge and experience. We need to know what Scripture says, and we need an environment where we encounter the presence of God and experience the love of God. 1 John 4:18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. I'm believing today that some of you are going to have an encounter with the perfect love of God. We're going to open up this altar and you're going to come and you're going to have an experience of the perfect love of God that is going to bring healing into your world, healing into your marriage, healing into your mind. You need to know the love of God and experience. There's too many scriptures. Ben, I'd love you to join me. So this is what we're saying, everybody. Eros love, sex, is not something to be weird about, awkward about, fearful of, It's a good thing made by God. It has a set design that God has made that provides spiritual covering. But your soul will never be fully satisfied by Eros love without agape love, the love of God.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.